let's reconvene and go on with the agenda. We are up to the Loggy Minor Subdivision. Jerry, you have the report.
The next item.
Go ahead.
This is the Lage Minor Subdivision plat, a little history. The parcel is located in the northeast and the northwest quarter. The first division, which was a 4.34 acre parcel, was divided out August 16 of this year. It is parcel C. Property is zoned A1 Agricultural District. What is being proposed here is a simple division of that 4.3 acre parcel into two separate lots. One lot contains a single family dwelling, which is currently being constructed. And then that would be lot one. Lot two contains the two existing accessory structures that are located on the property, and that's under an acre in size. The minimum lot size for a development lot, which again is lot one, that's where the house is a 1 acre minimum in an A1 district. There is no minimum lot size requirement for the lot two, which is where the accessory structures are located. Mr. and Mrs. Lage did sign the restrictive covenant. If you recall back, the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Supervisors adopt the provision which addresses the situation to allow an accessory structure to be on an adjacent parcel without a principal permitted use. They agreed to retaining ownership to both lots, and they agreed not to further subdivide those two parcels. The Planning and Zoning Commission's role is to make a recommendation on the minor subdivision plat to the Board of Supervisors. This is a shot of the final plat, Lage subdivision. Again, it's a 4.3 acre parcel. They're proposing to divide it into the two lots, lot one, which contains the single family residence, which is currently being constructed. And then there's two existing accessory structures. They're located on the southwest portion of that lot, which is, again, proposed lot two. This is the restrictive covenant document that Mr. and Mrs. Lage signed. For the most part, it's their agreement to an acknowledgement that they have an accessory structure that's not on the same parcel that their existing single-family residence is located on. They're agreeing to retain ownership and not further divide those two lots.
Why are we dividing the lots?
The primary purpose or reason has to do with financing of the single-family home, which is being constructed. Mr. Lage is here this evening and can touch on that. Subject property is located in an agricultural area. It's about a half mile east of the city of Roland, completely surrounded by farm ground. We're into the site photos. This is from the November 19, 2015 site review. There's a gravel access and drive that goes in. See the single family residence, the two accessory structures, which are to the west side of their house. There's the front of the residence. Two existing accessory buildings. That's the back side of the residence. This is the east side of the larger building, which is on the southwest side of the lot. This is looking south. This is actually looking west towards the city of Roland. This is the front yard area. There's rows of existing evergreen trees along the north and the west side of that lot. And this is panning toward the east. To the analysis and the staff recommendation, again, the Lage property is surrounded by ag ground, crop ground. The applicant does not own any of the adjacent parcels. According to the applicant, again, the primary reason for the division has to do with the financing of the single-family residence. The applicant does intend to retain ownership of both of these lots. Only lot one would be the development lot. That's where the house is. And as I mentioned, they signed the restrictive covenant, which is in our county development regulations and makes this a legal thing to do. With regard to comments, we did receive one comment. We sent it to all the staff divisions, departments in the county. Received a comment from Environmental Health that Lot 2 septic is on Lot 1. For the most part, this is okay for now. If in the future they do decide to sell, and again, part of this agreement is that the staff director of the department has to be in agreement to any change or deviation to what's been agreed to. But they're saying that if they do sell, then they would need to acquire an easement for that septic system. We did send public notices to the adjacent landowners on November 20th and did not receive any comments with regard to this division. And staff is recommending approval, and we're asking that you support the request and direct staff to place this on the Board of Supervisors agenda. Be happy to answer your questions.
I have two questions. One is, so there's the signed agreement that not to sell the two separately. How is that enforced? I mean, is that recorded so that if somebody's trying to do the sale, that it comes up that
it will be
at a recorded sell these separately?
Right.
Okay. The other question I had was just looking at the first picture where you showed the house and the buildings.
The site photo?
That one.
Okay.
And the next one. No. Other way.
Sorry.
There you go. Are there any setbacks or anything? I mean, if that looks like where's the property line? Because it looks like those buildings are not more than maybe 25 or...
So yeah, you can kind of see these are the building footprints, and they are meeting the setback requirements of the county.
All right. They just look really close.
Yeah, 10-foot sides. There's like a 2-foot rear yard setback requirement.
All right.
Even if they didn't, because of the restrictive covenant, you could treat it as one lot. Could you not?
Well, we would ask that they meet the setback requirements. Even though this is not considered to be a development lot.
Because conceivably you could, you'd probably say, I want to sell the other lot and knock down the accessory buildings or something, in which case then. But the residents being from the, you're less likely to knock down the residents and sell than the accessory building. That was my concern is, anyway.
Any other questions? Any comments from the applicant? Anything you'd like to tell us about?
If you wouldn't mind stepping to the podium,
yes, sir.
We might have a question or two for you, too.
Okay.
My name is Steve Lage. I live at 61338 130th Street, Brooklyn.
Any questions for the applicant?
Well, just the house is pretty much already built. But what financing are we talking about?
It's the home. It got a lot more expensive than we initially planned, which I guess isn't uncommon. But the real issue we ran into is with the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac regulations. If you assess a rural property, they give almost no value to the buildings. It's a maximum of $50,000 or $80,000, or the cost of those was close to $400,000 together, and so they were only appraised at about $50,000 or $80,000, I think, total. And so when they look at the total appraisal of the property and the value of the property, then there's a small amount of debt against those. They don't meet the Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac financing requirements, and so we wanted to separate the properties. So we appraised the we have an appraisal of lot two, then, which was an agricultural appraisal, which gave full value of the buildings. And then a separate appraisal of the house and lot one, which appraised at appropriate levels. So together, those two appraisals give us everything we need, but because of the low value of the appraisal as one parcel.
So you draw an artificial line down the middle of it, and now everything works.
Yeah, and then when it's all done, we'll put them back together.
I mean, you've already put it back together because you've signed the covenant that you can't.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to
force
you to give you
personal
information, but it does help to understand this.
I was informed that this is quite normal.
Yes, it is.
The way that rural properties are assessed.
Exactly.
All right.
That's the only reason. We're not going to sell anything. I just built those buildings.
Yeah, really. I'm so glad to do that, to separate the pasture from the house.
Any other questions, Pastor? Anything you'd like to add?
No, appreciate your consideration.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to accept the proposal as outlined per staff recommendation. Proposal for the Glacier Manor subdivision plat application sub 05-25 as submitted. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. We have a motion by Smith, second by Donaldson. Roll call vote, please.
Smith?
Yes.
Calvert?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Donaldson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Stevens?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you.
Good luck.
She'll let you go first.
What's that? We would have cut you off at the
pass. We're going to cut our fees until you do that in just 3 hours.
I got a buzz and for I'm hours. Leaving.
I'm going through page by page. Get ready to go.
You're liable to take a chair in the back.
All right. We have a draft of the CTC plan that's being presented tonight. And guys, why don't you introduce yourselves and go for it.
Yep. I am Chris Jansen with MSA Professional Services. I think the last time we were in front of you guys might have been September, I believe. And we were talking about our progress on the plan, where we're at. So we're here today, myself and Chris Shires from Confluence, to discuss what has been done in the past couple of months since we saw you last and our draft plan at this point, and just that general schedule, if it'll come up. Hopefully it will. Is there a way to select my plugin, or do I have to switch the wires?
Monitor.
Okay, we can't get it in, so we've got to table that for now.
And that concludes our presentation. Email us.
Yeah, there you go.
And you jump up into the air.
Oh, that's right.
You are a year older.
That's right.
It's going.
It's
going.
All right,
so that's
this right. This little should be better back off. I use that excuse all the time. Me too. Absolutely.
the wood I forgot. Oh.
You earned it.
What are you guys doing next month? Is there things that we have to review or make decisions on, or is this simply information?
Okay. It's we would love for you guys to review the document. It has been posted. It is on the website, the drafts that the project team has looked at and that are available to the public at this point are up, and I will go through that shortly now.
But do we need to take any action on this?
No, this is an informational.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have, we're not doing a I mean, there's no motion or anything like that. It's just kind of an update, informational update.
Well, you know how closely I need you to pay attention.
Sure. Gotcha. Okay.
But I'll be I'm ready to take notes. If you have any comments,
but you said,
I'll be
it's on the web, so I'll just go read it
there. Yes. Briefly and quickly, so that everyone can go home, we are going to go over the schedule for the C2C project real quick, where we're at in it. We're going to review draft documents real quick, just the general form of the plan, and we're going to talk about upcoming meetings. So we started this process in March. We are a fairly a ways through. We had planned these meetings for November with both Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Supervisors, but they ended up being in December. And basically there was a little, we had an extra meeting with the Conservation Board to review Chapter 4. And have them look at that in November, and then with the holidays and that kind of thing. So we were meeting with you guys in December. We were meeting with the Board of Supervisors on the 15th, I believe, is the plan at this point, to do basically the same presentation. And then any comments that you guys would get us between now and there, we would try and put into those drafts and give to them. But for the most part, we anticipate that they'll probably see about the same thing and hopefully have some of the some similar comments, questions, that kind of stuff. But basically, upcoming public engagement opportunities as far as the plan. So we have the plan website, again, staff, consultant team. We have the project team meetings. Next one is December 15th. Citizens Task Force will meet in February, where they will find they will have access to these documents as well. Obviously, they'll be on the website, and we're asking that they Leanne, you have a plan kind of how to release the documents to the task force to kind of get them to review them on, you know, every 2 weeks, that kind of thing, until they get to that meeting in February, where again we would hope to get comments from them prior to that, so we could get a final draft put together at that for that meeting for their final review of it. Planning and zoning, again, we'll have meetings in March and April with you guys, kind of a work session, and then the final recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for approval. And then Board of Supervisors meetings, we have one, again, not on the 15th, and then we will have those in March and April as well. The big one, the big that you will want to you want to tell people about and possibly come if you're available would be the open houses in January, which will be, we have five of those scheduled at this point. We'll also have an online version. We're going to take the first one, put it on the website, and do a questionnaire so that people can just watch the presentation and comment from if they can't make it to one of those meetings or don't want to, whatever. But that will be available after the 19th of January. C2C plan, schedule meetings, I updated this, so it has all of those, the times and places for the meetings. We haven't quite decided on a time for those meetings at this point, I don't think, but I would assume 6:30. Yeah, 6:30 or so on the 19th, the 26th, the 28th, the 2nd, and when's the other one? I'm missing one of them. The 19th is the Community Center in Zering. The 26th is Conservation Center at the Farm Park. 28th is 21st in Maxwell. The one on the 28th is in Huxley, I believe. Slater. And then we'll have another one at the Ames Library on the 2nd of February. So that's the general schedule on those. We'll get straight to the documents here. If you go to the website, C2C Plan, those have all been updated as of today. Actually, I made some updates, so chapters 1 through 7, which include introduction, public input, the foundation, which is kind of the goals and objectives and strategies for the things not included in their own separate chapters, conservation of natural resources, recreation, land use, economic prosperity, transportation, and then finally have four appendices, community indicators, the full survey results, existing plan summaries, and the plan area maps. So those are all on there. We encourage, we'll go through those a little bit. I have about two slides on each one, nothing too insane, but just to kind of give you guys a general feel of what the plan looks like at this point and where it's at in the process. But we ask that you look at these, give us some input. You can, like I said, you can send it to Jerry, send it to Nan, you can send it straight to us, however you prefer to get that information to us. We'd be happy to have any comments, make any edits that you feel would be necessary, any suggestions. So, again, the process, we took the public engagement stuff that we did with you guys, with the board, with the meetings, with the surveys, all that stuff, the elements that we, from the Iowa Smart Planning Law, and then we broke out agricultural resources as a separate element, took those, we then put it through the visioning process that the Institute of, I can't remember it, Development, that the visioning process that the Institute for Decision Making went through. So where we have those kind of, we were calling them pillars. So we came up with this kind of graphic that says growth-oriented sustainable infrastructure, economy and prosperity, natural amenities, and then governance, leadership, and learning environments. And then those translate into goals, objectives, and strategies for the foundational elements, the conservation of natural resources and recreation, land use, economic prosperity, and then transportation. So that is the general format and how it is arranged, and I'll go through a couple of those here, and then Chris is going to cover some of his chapters, but basically start off with an introduction. It talks about what the plan is, the general plan organization, the process of creating it, some of the project milestones and the meetings that we've had, so if somebody picks this up, they can immediately see that there was a public engagement process, and you know, it took this long, and this is why the county did it, and these are the principles that it was based on in its initial form. Then we move into some demographics. There's, you know, four pages or so of just some general demographics about the county, which, again, they're covered in Appendix A in more depth, but there are general demographics at the beginning to talk about why, to kind of bring home why the county needs a plan. You know, it's seen growth, it's going to see additional growth, there's significant changes in household size and those types of things. That's all in Chapter 1, the introduction. Then we go into Chapter 2, which is public input. This chapter probably won't be finished till we're completely done in terms of the draft, because obviously we have the open houses in January, we have a task force meeting in February, and then we'll have some probably additional comment at public meetings and workshops and that kind of thing until adoption. So the final draft of this will be available sometime in the spring. It's still kind of a work in progress because, again, we're still having public input. But it generally goes over the public input process. It talks about the SWOT analysis that we did at the beginning and the surveys, and talks about all the strengths and weaknesses that came out of all those meetings and the survey and that kind of thing. And then it has a summary of the surveys, the youth survey, the community survey, and talking about what was in those. We move then into any questions up to this point? Keep rolling? Okay. The foundation, Chapter 3. This is, again, all of those elements of the plan that are not in their own chapter. We broke out several of those. Land use is a big deal for this type of plan, so it's its own chapter, and that's pretty usual for these types of things. We ended up breaking out transportation, economic prosperity, because, again, part of this plan and part of what went into it was how to be competitive and how to continue to be have Story County be competitive, and that needed extra attention of the chapter, and then also the natural resources, conservation of natural resources and recreation, which is kind of a joint venture with this planning process. That element will stand on its own to help out the conservation board and their efforts. And also we put the trail information in there, not the transportation section. So in a plan that would be organized, if you were going to pull one out of a box somewhere, you'd probably see a lot of that trail information in a transportation section. In this plan, because of the process and because of all the work that Confluence had done with the Conservation Board prior to us you know, coming up with that transportation chapter. We kept it in there and referred to it a couple times throughout the plan so that if somebody was looking for that information, they were, they're, you know, steered to chapter four. But that's generally how it works out. We go through those pillars, and then we talk about the goals. We have, you know, again, the goals for agriculture, all those elements, agricultural resources down to intergovernmental coordination. And then, again, in each one of those, we talk about strategies and objectives. And so our goals are kind of what's the problem, what do we want to see. The objectives are how to get there, and then your strategies are kind of milestones to go about how to get there, or more principle-type statements of when you make decisions, refer to the strategies on about how to make the decision. So 5 years from now, you have something that comes up, and it's a big deal for the county. The Board of Supervisors is considering entering in some sort of intergovernmental agreement that may be a little edgy, that kind of thing. The idea is that they would look back at this plan, see if it meets the goals, you know, look at the objective, and maybe the objectives are going to change over the years, which they probably will as you see updates. But some of the strategies will still be there. So the board will look at that and say, okay, this fits with our goal, and this, we did identify that, you know, more of these agreements, as long as they're beneficial for the county, even if they're somewhat controversial, if it generally meets the intent of the plan is on our side. Now, they may vote however they want to vote, and that's their prerogative as elected officials, but they'll have this as a guidebook to look at and can help use it to help make some of those tough decisions down the line. That's the ultimate idea behind that setup.
And so on Chapter 4, Conservation, Natural Resources, and Recreation, this one is, you'll notice, has more goals, objectives, and strategies than most of the other chapters. It was been heavily vetted by the Conservation Board. So if you wanted to skip one and not read it, this might be the one. However, it does a nice job really setting that board up. To be able to use it as a decision-making tool as far as where to focus priorities and resources when they're going at budget time. And it does build upon a 1975 analysis of the county resources. And so there's a back page where we refer back to this. And this is also the chapter for which most of the base maps are related to or tied to. And these are the ones you've seen before where it's soils and other type of physical landform conditions.
They're all in Appendix D. So, like I said, I just did a couple slides on each. I know you guys had a busy meeting tonight. So,
and then land use chapter, I think for the commission is probably your most important chapter. This one we would really ask you to spend some time going through. Just like the other chapters, it starts out with goals and strategies. These goals and strategies will also give you something to refer back to when you're trying to, when you're wishing to justify a certain type of decision on a rezoning or a land use action. When somebody's saying, gosh, would you please rezone my property or change my land use designation and then rezone my property accordingly, well, you refer back to these goals and strategies. Does that fit within what we had in the vision? Do they align? And then the next most important part is the land use map or the future land use map. This has gone through a lot of revisions, really listening to some of the input we had from you folks previously on the things you wanted to see. Worked a lot on its legibility, so we're trying to show a land use plan for an entire county. I did print one by the size maybe is what you put on the wall. But the big thing on this is do look at the different land use categories. We have the standard ones that we talked about before, you know, an agricultural conservation designation, natural resource area, so ag, think ag zoning, ag uses, natural resources, parks, preservation, natural areas to preserve. White is that ag, so you can see most of the county has that type of ag land use designation. Rural, residential, so just like what you were dealing with earlier, farmsteads, single-family subdivisions, you know, where appropriate. And there's not very many of them in the county. I say farmsteads, truly rural subdivisions, and those would be those areas in yellow. Commercial and industrial combined into one use. Don't have much in the county, but you do have some. Those are red. And then I'm going to jump to the Ames Urban Fringe area, acknowledging the existing work and foundation of that plan. Why reinvent it? Why redo it? So this plan just acknowledges that, and that's that buffer around Ames.
The purple.
Thank you, the purple buffer. And then the one change we made, the new thing in listening to some of the feedback, is an urban expansion area. And this is identified in the planning areas that we had found for some of our communities, some of the small towns or the larger communities. And it's the areas in blue around different towns. And instead of trying to guess their different land uses and knowing they're going to make changes to them, just identify that as an urban expansion area. Then with some proposed growth policies, that if you do get a project within that area, it should reflect the land uses in place at the time for that city, if they've planned outside their boundaries. And if it's really an urban development, maybe it needs to be annexed by the city and occur there instead of being within the county. And in some cases, it might still make sense for it to be fully within the county's jurisdiction.
Chris, what would you say are the major themes of the land use chapter and the land use map? Like, what you just said there might be one of them, but sure. I wonder if there's four major points, or three or four or five major points. Six or seven or eight.
Sure. Probably the one that I'm going to tie it back into also the Ames Urban Fringe Plan is that maybe one of the county's roles, because we did hear this from our stakeholder group and our steering committee, is can the county let the cities have that more intense urban development? Let the cities decide in their growth areas what type of development they're going to have, and really direct that more intensive urbanization to occur within city limits. That way you can have the urban level of services necessary to serve property that typically aren't provided at a county level. It takes also some of the burden off the county. That's really reflects that good planning work that's been done on the Ames Urban Fringe plan. The other kind of a little more unique area is and we know we talked about these before, but the rural village areas, and this is reflecting or acknowledging some of the development that you have in some unincorporated areas in the county. It might, at one time, might have been a town or just an area where you had a bunch of not necessarily even just residential buildings be developed, but, you know, Chipley is one of them. That is an area that may be appropriate for continued development or redevelopment over time, depending on what type of level of service do we have. And that's maybe that third type of theme, is what do we have for an urban level of service that the county can provide. So if we're going to approve a new rural subdivision, does it have paved access? Does it have the ability to either be served by a mini septic batch plant, individual septic systems? Is rural water there? You know, what's appropriate? And then preservation. Probably that's the other big one, is all the green areas, is trying to preserve some of our identified high-value natural resource areas.
Chris, does it include, maybe this is more of a specific, but I know that in some of the meetings where we've had with all the communities, representatives from the different, entities, that one of the specific things I think that came up was a discussion with the City of Ames, City of Gilbert, Ames School District, Gilbert School District. You know, they recognize that there's that there's going to be that continual expansion between them.
Right.
Last month, we had a discussion in the Board of Supervisors. We were talking about the paving of the Grant Road that goes between Ames and Gilbert, and they don't want to do that because no place else in the county do we have three parallel roads running within a, whatever. But no place else in the county do we have that kind of development happening either. Right. So it might justify. Is there anything specific? I guess I'm looking for, there's county land and county roads between Ames and Gilbert, both of which are growing toward each other.
Nothing specific as far as a policy statement that says, hey, in this specific instance, you guys need to do the following set of things. However, we did take a look at that in the context of the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and in the context of some of the growth policies. And the major one being this goal three, that we need to consider the availability and capacity of local services and infrastructure when determining future land uses. And so then with some of the strategies underneath this, this really pushes us to, in fact, just something that we have in blue, some of their
right.
growth areas, that, you know, if these are going to occur, they need to be with inside the city so that an urban level of service can be provided. There's not that language to do. The next step is cities do the right thing, make sure you're getting streets paved, make sure you have a connected street network system. But at least it's not putting the burden back on that this is something the county needs to be managing. The other thing, part of that policy is an acknowledgement that a future action step would be to develop a minimum level of service criteria, a level of service definition. In fact, if on page three, we have this little call-out green box. And I won't take credit for this. This is actually one of Leanne's ideas, where we can define specifically
the wizard.
Here, I don't want to offend
anybody,
but it wasn't. Maybe it was Ryan's.
Brian, was it yours? I'm just
looking for it. It was a whole bunch of the minimum level of services, the MLSs. That was, I didn't want to offend anybody if I gave the wrong person credit. It was Chris. But I mean, that a policy document should be created to just address that very issue. That, you know what, we know we have existing traffic issues, but we know we have a problem here. If this makes sense as a rural subdivision, this road problem has to be solved. Or maybe it just shouldn't be approved. Right.
So that goes back to the discussion with the orchard today, right?
Yeah, and I know that was a good one for you guys to wrestle with tonight. I'm sure that was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a very micro issue, though, because now you still have a base ag land use. And so I don't know that your comprehensive plan perfectly solves that one for you. That really gets back onto the legislative implementation side.
It would give some guidance, though, on what an agricultural conservation area is supposed to be as far as preserving the land, but also preserving the ability to farm and operate in that area.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely.
We got conflicting feedback there about can't farm on weekends, or I've never had any problems farming.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then right in line with that, we did give you a zoning compatibility matrix. So that as you have a different, you know, the different land use categories and somebody's wanting to be zoned something, you can determine what is the likely reasonable zoning district. And over time, as you update your zoning code or make modifications to your zoning code, you'd, of course, update this matrix as well. And I guess we didn't put that on slide. That's okay.
No, I didn't. I thought about it.
So. Anyway, so you can forget the rest of the presentation because that was the most important part.
Yeah. For you guys, I mean, that probably will be the one that you'll refer to the most as you use this plan. But the next chapter covers economic prosperity. Again, we talk about workforce and commuting patterns, potential industry clusters, key geographic areas for growth. So it works with the land use plan and talks about existing economic development programs. Gets background information, has its own goals, objectives, policies, and just a standalone chapter that covers that. And again, that was in that audit that staff did 2014, I believe, or 2013 finished. You know, it mentioned that economic prosperity was something that the county wanted to make sure that they were being competitive and had some goals and some strategies to continue to do that, especially in the unincorporated areas, as there continues to be growth pressure on agricultural resources for the most part, is what they've been seeing. So that chapter addresses that. The next chapter, and this is kind of a new addition to the ones that you would have seen in our previous layout, is transportation goals, objectives, policies, same sort of thing. It talks about existing networks, you know, like highway, railroad. Again, trails are in Chapter 4. Planned transportation improvements, I put some stuff in there about the Highway 30 stuff that's current, and we have some graphics to add and that kind of thing. But basically goes over those elements. Talk again, goals, existing networks, summary of transportation efforts. So goes over some of the plans that have already been done by the county, strategic planning, five-year transportation plan, that kind of thing. Puts those in there, and then talks about the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and the Ames MPO plan and how that impacts, and then also just the plan improvements from some of those plans. Community indicators, you guys have seen this. Not a lot has changed. We've done some edits, but there's some additions to be done at the end of this with the land use chapter being finished in just general. Somebody could pick this up and get a pretty good idea of where all the data came from for some of these decisions, all the background stuff. So, you know, if you were thinking about this in a linear fashion, you would look at community indicators as the existing conditions data, the shot in time. You know, all of this is somewhat static based on whether we got it from census data or whether it was collected from some other source, and it'll change over time, but then we move in with that public input and the public engagement and talk about issues and opportunities and build those into the goals and strategies. But this is the background stuff that gives them some idea of where to go and what direction to plan. Background information in there. Talks about some minimal transportation stuff, minimal housing, minimal that sort of stuff. All of that stuff gets fleshed out a little bit more in the chapters, but it gives a brief overview of it. Survey results, I put these in full. This is a big chapter. It's like 100 pages. A big appendix. So it's probably not something that people are going to look at a lot, but if somebody did say, man, I made a comment on this and it never got put in the plan.
There's a lot of good information in there.
There is. There's a ton in there, and it can be, like I said, this can be sorted, and all the comments are in there. I did word searches to try and find anything horrible, but if you get bored and you start reading through them and you see something that I missed that we'll want to make sure that can be tempered. But I didn't see anything in there as I was browsing through it and reading through it that jumped out as anything but a generally comment either. You know, people were upset about certain things, but for the most part, it was pretty positive and helpful.
If there were, naughty words, did you delete the whole thing, or did you?
No, I didn't find anything. I went through like alt F, tried to find every dirty word I could think of. So,
okay.
And then read through a lot of it, but I would probably just black it out or put something else in. I don't want to, a comment's a comment, and like I said, it's an appendix. It's not something that anybody's going to look at on a regular basis, but there is a lot of good information in there. And that is all from all the surveys, both the community survey, the youth survey, have their summaries. Sorry, the full text, all the responses are in there. They're summarized in Chapter 2. Municipal and surrounding comprehensive plan summaries, we start off just talking about the Ames Urban Fringe Plan and go through any surrounding county plans, any plans that have been done within the county that deal with land use primarily, and all the communities that have, and I even put some notes in here. Ryan and Jerry and Adam? Who else went with you? From Adam. Drew met with a few of the cities that are seeing expansion and likely are having some growth pressures, but didn't have a current comprehensive plan or were in the process of doing one. I put their notes into here as well, just talking about, what they met with Cambridge, and there was a lot of information on, what was going on in Cambridge that isn't reflected in a plan that they've adopted, but we went ahead and put that information in here as well. Story City is another one, but they're currently going through a comprehensive plan process. So, this we may need to get to update this before the end of, this process, but if not, there's some general comments about where they wanted to grow and what direction they were looking to see industrial and where they wanted to see residential again, but they're in the middle of the process. Finally, plan area maps, and again, there's a bunch of these. There are 27 maps, so there's a lot of good maps, a lot of good information, trails map, and a lot of soils maps, that kind of stuff, all this natural resources maps, and then finally the
water maps, right, Ian?
Yes.
Yep.
Wells, wind turbines.
Yeah, you got the watersheds, a lot of soil stuff about yields, floodplains, greenways, historic vegetation, current land use, prairie lands, aquifers, wildlife travel corridors, drainage districts, you name it, there's a ton in there, so a lot of information. Overall, I'd love to hear any comments you guys would have now, but again, we can go through any general comments, we can ask any questions. If you have specific edits, we could do those, but I encourage you to look at these over the next, you know, couple weeks, week, month, whatever. Prior to February would be ideal, I think, when we have that Citizens Task Force meeting, because the next step after that is to come back to you guys with basically the finished product. So if there's any giant content changes, we want to know about those ahead of time so that we're not scrambling at the end of this process and doing anything with the timeline. So that would be ideal. Again, these are in draft form. We're presenting to the Board of Supervisors on December 15th. It'll be probably similar format, similar presentation, that kind of thing. They may have different questions. I'll probably summarize a couple of the things that came up here and see if we can address those. More changes are likely to be made in a couple months. We're going to add photos. Leanne gave us a bunch of photos that we can use for these chapters to kind of fill in some spaces and show ideas. You know, when we talk about housing, we want to get some photos of housing in Story County and some photos of transportation stuff and that kind of thing to add in there. A few tables to add. We're going to solidify the formats. Obviously, these are coming from a couple different sources, and in general, they are in the same template. We're using the same software and that kind of thing. But you know, I just noticed the other day that the economic prosperity is in one column, whereas we've done two columns. So we just got to break out a few of those things if we can, but solidify those formats for consistency. We'll do more changes after the public open houses, after the task force, and then the project team, which has done a fantastic job of looking at this. Leanne, Jerry, Ryan, and the other. Drew gave us a bunch of comments on stuff. Deb was great help for Leanne. I think you and her went over a bunch of stuff. So I would commend your staff. They've done a fantastic job of going through these and providing us with really useful comments that it's refreshing, because a lot of the times we won't get a lot of feedback at a good point in the process to make good changes, and we have definitely gotten that here, so much appreciated. Thank you. But we'll continue to make their reviews. So that is all I have. Upcoming meetings, we went through these. Project team meetings, December 15th. Task force is February 11th. Open houses in January and February. And Board of Supervisors also on the 15th. That's all I got.
Question.
Yes.
You guys do this all the time for other counties, for other cities. You can probably do these things for sleep, right? Same plan over and over. What has stood up to you about Story County in either the demographic analysis or the public input or the economic prosperity? Just like what surprised you or stood out to you as unique that is worth mentioning?
I got to say, just off the bat, I was the desire for the level of conservation. Of ag land and actual resources, or you know, of green space. I was very surprised by that. I'm a little more used to let's let them build everything everywhere whenever we can, and so a lot more. No, let's slow down. And I think you guys see that in your landform. You don't have all the rural subdivisions. Now some of it's because you have very high ag land values, but that's just that it's a concerted effort. That's probably been the biggest one that's different from other planning areas.
I have found the process to be fantastic. The project team meetings that we meet every 2 weeks and talk about these things is a great addition to this that I haven't seen before, and it allows the conversation between us as the consultant and the staff who's going to use this and knows it and is enthusiastic about having a comprehensive plan for the first time in the county's history. You've had a land use plan and that kind of thing, but that's a fantastic part of the process. Now, I know that may not, you know, it's not a... We found out this, you know, demographic trend in Story County, it's amazing. But just in general, the enthusiasm for it and the process that was designed, and not necessarily by us, this was, you know, what was thought out by staff to go through this has been great and very helpful. And I would hope that they would have some of the same comments and that, no, never mind.
And I know that very difficult. The conservation. the conservation staff's not here, but they've also been so closely, carefully involved, and then the conservation board themselves, very active. So you definitely have one of the stronger conservation agencies that we've seen. So.
And when, one of,
the trails and stuff in with conservation?
Yes.
That's right. A biggie in this county.
Yes, yes.
A biggie.
We've messed with that map more than any other map.
That does not surprise me.
One of the difficult things I've found, and Chris has probably dealt with it a little bit more because they've been working on the land use chapter, the Ames Urban Fringe presents some unique challenges to land use planning.
Boy, that was a nice way of putting it.
I don't think it's a horrible thing. Like, I actually like that those communities got together and said, no, we're going to do this. It's just that even just talking about, like you said, well, who's going to improve this road that's seeing traffic and wearing down? The county, I can understand, you know, the county not wanting, eventually it's going to be part of a city. It's part of their growth. Why would the county throw money into it when it's not county traffic, but it is county traffic?
Right.
And
there's no plans to do anything with 69 or George Washington Carver, and so you're gonna have to do something eventually, might as well. But the other thing that I was gonna say, not specifically about that, is that they came out of this is because I attended a lot of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Task force meetings, and it is just bringing all of the municipalities and different agencies and groups together has been good. Hearing, Huxley, Slater, Ames, Gilbert in that corridor talking about what their plans are or what they want the county to do has kind of brought them together to have discussions about, well, maybe we should talk together about how we want to address this, or, you know, hey, when we're talking about, we're already working on a plan for this. Oh, well, then we should talk with you about that. You know, it's brought kind of some of those communities together as well. So that's another one of the suggestions that I came out is that there's a role, potentially a role for the county to kind of, barter some of these groups together to facilitate some of these where we see things like Ames Gilbert, right, growing toward each other. You know, if there's an Ames plan, then there's maybe a Gilbert plan, then there's not a plan for in between. You know, let's kind of figure that out ahead of time together.
Yeah. I think this is to add to that, this process is a great example of that. The plan, I know that was part of one of the goals of the supervisors and staff was that it be a document that those other cities can look at and say, well, we could replicate this part of that process. Or, you know, like you said, I'm sure that Ryan and Jerry and Drew would love to go talk to any of those cities again that were having issues with growth, and because obviously they're going to impact unincorporated areas as they grow if they're doing annexation. So, this plan can act as that, you know, little bit of a olive branch to say, yeah, come talk to us. Well, let us look at our land use plan and see where we need to, you know, adjust some things or where you've adjusted some things and we need to react accordingly. That'll be a great part of implementing this.
One of the really good things about this, and to continue on with what you're saying, is that there has been contention between various municipalities. I mean, Ames, Nevada, Silver.
Once they pick a dividing line, it'll get
better. Yeah, but we got this 2-mile overlapping thing as an example between Ames and Nevada. Mm-hmm. Holy mackerel!
Yes.
Right.
Anyway, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
Yep, thank you.
All right, consideration and approval of the 2016 work program. We discussed the work program in our joint meeting.
We did.
But we need to take action on it officially.
Yeah, we've got a total of 15 items. 11 are carried over from 2015. Planning and Zoning Commission added comparing retail novelty farm with home business regulations, trying to figure out if there's any inconsistencies with the two. also added review of regulations adopted prior to 1985. Board of Supervisors added floodplain administrator certification to assist Leanne. And then the last thing is role of county, a possible pumping station for the Dakin pipeline. So there's those four things to the 11 that we're carrying over. And we are asking for a motion to support this work plan.
Absolutely. The detail now the farm and the event, the special event, regulation and all that.
Right.
Interrelated stuff is on the work program, which is excellent. And I think we're going to see more and more of what we saw tonight.
Last year with Mr. Black here, so I'm sorry, confusion. But
yeah, I was kind of wondering.
We saw that, multi-use bin use and.
So yeah. I just have sort of a question, and at this special event permit, that would notify the county that something's going to happen. And then the county could give advice on how is it going to change anything if this is the rubber stamp or just a fee?
Well, it would be an application, probably. I mean, we haven't even started working on it, to be honest with you, but normally it's an application. It could be a conditional use permit application, reviewed by staff, reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission, taken to the Board of Adjustment for final action. And again, it's usually things that are different than what an entity is doing, maybe inside the building. They want to do a car show, they want to do a carnival, or whatever the activity is. Usually it's something separately unrelated to what they normally do.
Let's say an example. Gilbert wants to put on fireworks 4th of July. That's not a special event. And they don't need to do this.
That's you do it in the city, Bert, so
it's okay.
It's those things where you want to look at the traffic.
But see, the Board of Supervisors votes on those things. They approve those kinds of things.
The team and the Board of Adjustment. Thanks for coming. Board of Adjustment.
Well, that's all the reasons why it's on the work program.
Right.
Is to figure those things out.
Okay, now, when we move on this, is this like the 5-year construction plan that is submitted to the DOT, which is flexible? It is not cast in cement?
Well, I mean, anything that's on this list, we would take to you as we're working on it for some direction.
But that doesn't mean that we actually have to address all of these things in 2016. Or that we may want to add something.
I would love it if we could kick through this in 2016 and then get a whole another list for 2017.
It's a guide.
Yeah, maybe this is the list for the first half of 2016.
Some of the things we're going to take action on our part, they just make a little research for the staff and they say, this is what we find out.
Right.
And that's it. Right.
And we'll update you and things where we need some direction from the Planning and Zoning Commission to do that.
I make a motion that we accept your plan as a guide.
A second.
A motion and a second. I think we can do this with a voice vote. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Same side? Okay.
Ryan, were you going to oppose? Is that what you're
saying?
I second.
Any staff comments?
The other thing I have is training. Ryan, you provided some awesome ideas. I just need some direction. I didn't get any feedback for the kinds of things that you want to do. Most of those things were tours, which we do have a van, and I'd be more than happy to take you on some tours. But there were a lot of things on that list, maybe two or three of the top things. And are these things that you want to do during the winter months or when it's the weather's nicer? And those are the kinds of things I need some feedback on.
I have a couple of suggestions. One of that list was just a really long brainstorming.
It was a great start, yeah.
But what I would suggest is that you pick the things that you think are highest priority and most useful to us. And my only other comment, I don't care about the time of the season, but I think that there are a lot of things we can do to make us perform better as a commission that had nothing to do with sitting and listening to a presentation.
Okay.
You know, touring the Ames Mine, for example, is fantastic.
you know, we did it when I was a staff member, and you know, that's right here in Story County. And you can see
I've done it with the street classes.
That's great. Yeah.
On the commission, and there's a very mind opening, and it does open your mind to things that are going on in the county that you didn't otherwise know about, and to traffic things that you might have complained about before.
In fact, I think it's a good practice anytime that we have CUP holders that are in good stead with the county. If they want to invite us down and show the commission what's going on, just so that if they ever have a modification, we're that far ahead of the game.
That's right.
I think that's a fantastic community education thing, too. So that's my two cents.
Okay.
I don't think, unless you all disagree, I don't think that we have to give you a prioritized list. I think you know as well as anybody what we need.
Exactly.
I would say one or two a year, maybe.
Okay.
That's good to know.
We don't think one or two training.
Depends on what they are, okay. You know. And, you know, maybe we're talking about tours. We could do two, maybe three. But I agree with you. To sit down getting lectured to is kind of.
Okay. Any other comments on that? Okay, we make staff. Any commission comments?
I have a comment and more of a question, probably for Jerry. So we're going to get Black Orchards, Center Grove Orchards coming back after they talk with you and work with you. And then we're going to have to make a decision, and that's going to go to the Board of Adjustments, and they're going to make a decision. And if they decide ultimately that the proposed changes possibly to the traffic flow unduly increases the congestion, and we can't say yes, this is, we can modify the CUP, maybe for the under definition of you know, the under the CUP, what happens then if the Board of Adjustment says no?
Well, then I guess it depends on, first of all, what information we obtain and what we, I mean, there's a lot of variables at stake here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, ultimately, they want to be able to do what they're currently doing, what they're proposing to do.
And what they've already done.
And what they've already done. So, I mean, we have to take those things into consideration. If the decision is the train needs to go, then that's an action that somewhat becomes an enforcement issue. I have no idea what he spent on that train. I know he got it from a zoo in Arizona. But, I mean, I read somewhere about hundreds of trucks loads of dirt. I mean, dirt's not cheap. There's engineering fees involved, the track. So, I mean, there's a lot of issues at play, but...
And I, just to be clear, I'm not against the railroad thing. It ties into Story County, it ties into their farm specifically. That's great, that's interesting. I don't know that that fits with a novelty farm CUP. And so how do we do it so that it's right? Because if we approve that, and we approve the dog shows and the rock bands and the whatever as part of the CUP for an orchard as part of a retail novelty farm, then there's not a limit.
No limit.
Right? I mean, it's just, you have A1 zone property and you sell fruit, and so you can do whatever the heck you want as long as you get the thing. So maybe there's a different conditional use permit, or maybe that area gets zoned differently so it's not A1 zoned, or... I don't know what the alternatives are, but I don't think that fits.
Well, there's been changes over time that have occurred, you know, since... And he was doing this before the 08. I think I don't know if that was a complaint. Something to do with a complaint in 08.
Yeah.
And that's why he was asked to submit the conditional use and try to get up to speed.
So they had an orchard and a store since 94. And then they started making and selling foods in 2005. And then the first conditional use was 2018.
And there's three main, fairly sizable buildings where they do food prep and where they sell it.
And then there's the smaller buildings where they're doing just unique individual items, whether it's caramel apple or a walking taco or whatever, donuts.
To me, the issue is what kinds of decisions we're making that are going to come back to bite us down the road.
Yep.
Because we're making decisions we're making in this place are going to have implications for years. That's why I feel we have to be very careful about it and make sure all the loose ends are tied up.
Agreed.
It has to be tight.
Scott, if I may, to answer your question, further clarify, any decision made by the Board of Adjustment can be appealed to the district courts within 30 days of the decision. Which is another part of that.
But does it ever come back to us, right?
I'm glad you know that. Thank you.
Not unless they presented a new case.
Yeah.
Let's come back with a new case. Any other comments?
Let's confirm. Motion to adjourn.
I do. Motion to adjourn.
Second. We are adjourned. Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Bye.
This is your last one?
This is our last one.
Oh, golly gee. Hey, I'm seeing you girls. You know what? I'm back.
Well, I can always sign you.
What?
I'm
up again. Don't be surprised. I'm surprised if we're
up here. Well, we're going to start tracking. We need to be down there by
3:00. Oh, she's
calling
over
the
evening.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
This one.
Yeah. I saw Leanne's back here.
What?
Leanne's back here.
Really?
Yeah. First time. Okay. You too, Jerry.
Yeah, you too.
So I'm sure you caught most of it.
That's why I sort of recognized it.
Yeah, I left in 2000 and then 2004.
Well, I didn't start getting paying a real attention to you work at Danfoss now, right?
No, I work for the Brick Industry Association. Thank you. Well, you too. Thank you for all your service. Will you get out of here?
Yeah.
Can I good for you.
Well, what would find with Scott, and what they were saying about, depending on, well, honestly, they did a championship, so. That's an 80.
Yeah.
They don't make a championship. Scott was thinking about maybe he would take the boys.
PG 13 mostly because of the punching.
I have it. I have it. I got far ahead. And, okay, well, I haven't said anything to Red Velvet at all.
Snyder.
So.
What do you think about this? What's that? I wasn't going to make a motion, but that was
for sale. I didn't see any reason.
Purple apple,
yeah.
You know, you're growing
food that are prepared for stuff on site. If you're selling walking tacos, if you do selling other food stuff,
I think you gave us a bite over the
court. But so yeah, the one of the things that they were not
anymore.
They were getting these items, the food items,
the
elsewhere.
Sometimes they do. But it was just, but it's not compared.
Yep.
And sometimes you see regulations like this presented, and then this presented on top. We don't have that provision.
That's an amendment that's coming.
Here's my thing. The whole reason the reason it's zoned for agriculture is because they pay money across the
small farm. If
you want to do a retail business, then you put in a zoning change and you say, I want to put in a restaurant or whatever, and you
may probably see my question.
The whole reason that we're doing it in Detroit is because this is how it's done.
This piece is all this money.